This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. The longtime head of Missouri's Department of Conservation has stepped aside after taking the helm of the agency in late 2016. And it could be argued that Sarah Parker Pauley had a dream role in Missouri's state government, managing the state's incredibly vast expanse of pristine wilderness and outdoor space. But Pauley's job as director of that agency, which, among other things, manages hunting and fishing in Missouri's conservative areas, hasn't always been easy. During an in-depth conversation with STLPR politics correspondent Jason Rosenbaum last week, Pauley spoke about the ongoing challenges of balancing the commitment to preserving Missouri's natural beauty with the need for economic development in struggling parts of the state. Here's Jason.
You have retired after a long career in public service, both as the leader of the Department of Conservation and the Department of Natural Resources. So after serving both of those roles, does the prospect of spending your retirement hunting, fishing, or walking on trails seem like too much like work?
No. No, it seems like the perfect way to go into retirement when you spend your career, when you have the great pleasure and privilege of spending your career on areas that you're passionate about personally, then you better believe I am ready to spend a little more time afield, as we say, enjoying the resources that I have been working to steward these years. So it seems very fitting that I would be spending more time in the great outdoors.
This is going to be a very basic question, but for people that do not understand what the Department of Conservation does, can you just explain in a nutshell what its role is in Missouri state government?
Absolutely. Our agency has been around since the 1930s. There was a fish and game agency prior to that, but it was considered a very political agency that lacked adequate resources to do the job. And Jason, you know, the history in Missouri, like many other parts of the country, the end of the 1800s into the early 1900s, we had, unfortunately, through market hunting and other misuses of the resources, had kind of hunted our game species out. We had cut most of the timber in the Ozarks, had denuded our forested hillsides. Resources were not looking very good, and so bless the citizens in the 1930s who began to say we want something different, and so through initiative petition created the Missouri Department of Conservation with the responsibility to steward our forests, our fish and wildlife, and of course the habitats that go along with those. So for the last, you know, 85 plus years, that is what this agency has been doing, is really stewarding those resources, taking care of nature and connecting our people with nature, and at the same time maintaining the public trust along the way.
So you kind of alluded to this, but one of the notable things about the Department of Conservation is that it's funded with a dedicated sales tax and does not depend on the legislature for money. How does the fact that your former department is overseen by four conservation commissioners, as opposed to 197 legislators who may want to control how your operations operate, so to speak?
Jason, that's a loaded question. You know, I think that is the beauty of what we call the Missouri model of conservation, which if you go around the country, people in my field know this model, and they say, boy, the citizens got it right in the 1930s. Because at the time, the agency, prior to the creation of the department, the agency, the Fish and Game Agency that existed before then, was pretty politically impacted. And so with this model, where I do report, or I did report, to a four-member governor-appointed, Senate-confirmed commission that has the authority to set fish and wildlife regulations, that has the authority to hire the director, has the authority to approve the budget. It really ensures that we are focused on the mission at hand, that we are looking at fish and wildlife management from a scientific standpoint, that we are ensuring that our the financial resources that the that largely the citizens, again, you noted the sales tax that passed in the 1970s, again by initiative petition, funds at least 60% of the revenues coming in, so such a key source of funding for us. But there really is an obligation to use those funds so very wisely.
If I go to a conservation area for the first time and I'm confronted with the fact that I have to get a hunting or fishing license, and I'm really irritated and annoyed by that, what would you say to someone like me who and explain like why that type of thing is necessary?
So first, I would say it depends on what you're going to the conservation area for. If you're going to hike, to bird watch, to use your e-bikes, well, many of our areas now allow for e-bikes on our service roads. Obviously, there's no permit required for a citizen who's just wanting to go and enjoy their conservation areas. Now, if you are going to hunt or to fish, or if you're doing an activity that involves more people and perhaps needs a special use permit, typically those special use permits don't even have a fee, but let's say you're just going to hunt or fish. And you're saying, darn it, I should just be able to do whatever I want without paying a permit into the agency. I might remind you and take you down, the path of the Missouri history and the history of, unfortunately, much of North America. Before there were agencies with this responsibility, and of course the permits serve multiple purposes. They ensure we know how many people are hunting and fishing. Typically we're asking additional questions through surveys or through our app, or obviously we're wanting to understand harvest numbers and that sort of thing. All of that data goes into ensuring best practices that we are managing the resources correctly. And before there were permits, before there were agencies who had that responsibility, when left to our own devices, unfortunately, our record is that we don't do a very good job of stewarding the resources and the way to ensure sustainable, healthy populations into the future. So those permits, and typically we do not have hunters and anglers complaining about having to buy a permit, because they recognize that with those resources, it goes back into us, either acquiring more or taking care of habitat on public land, of ensuring we're doing appropriate research on different game species, of providing resources for our law enforcement or protection branch to do their job and make sure that people are abiding by the wildlife code, of doing the public outreach necessary for a regulation development or revisions to our regulations. So there's a lot of work that goes into sustaining healthy and abundant game species into the future, and we use those resources wisely to do that. So we don't tend to get people complaining about it because, in fact, I tell you, when I'm out and about and meet hunters in particular, also anglers, but have come across more hunters in the field from other states who say, when we come to Missouri, we know these public lands are going to be managed well. We know that you're doing what it takes to sustain abundant and healthy game species. And so it always feels good. We certainly hear it from Missourians, but we also hear it from folks out of state who say, we think you're doing a pretty good job here in Missouri. So those resources are important for us.
That's Sarah Parker-Pauley, former director of Missouri's Department of Conservation, speaking with STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum. In the next bit of their conversation, Polly explains the dynamics of relationships the Department of Conservation has with different regions across the state, especially rural areas, and how conservation work there compares with work in places that are suburban and urban.
Well, you know, we certainly try to provide public areas wherever you might live in Missouri, but there is no doubt about the fact that when we're focused on stewarding natural resources and protecting habitat, that much of that is in the more rural areas, though both state parks and we have, you know, nature centers and conservation areas closer to the urban areas as well. But the vast majority, of course, of MDC lands would be in more rural counties. And you're right, sometimes perhaps the rural county sees that, hey, if we're buying up more public land, are we taking away future economic activity? I would say for the Missouri Department of Conservation, we do pay what's called a payment in lieu of taxes. And so we do make payment to those counties and do a kind of a reevaluation every 5 years to ensure we're still making an adequate payment to those counties. And so I think that goes a long way for many of those counties. And we're actually in the process of doing going through an even more detailed study of what is that economic activity that we bring to counties. You made the point earlier with the pandemic as an example, that as more people are going to these public lands, we know they also tend to eat lunch in the area or buy gas and other things from gas stations, that they're taking advantage of local businesses when they're near a public area. And so that certainly brings economic activity to those more rural areas. I think when I was at Department of Natural Resources, maybe the best example of that is the beautiful Echo Bluff State Park and down in Shannon County. And at the time when the state purchased that land for a state park, there were some concerns raised by the locals of, what that might mean for the county. But it's interesting now when you go down there, and I love going to visit Echo Bluff, and of course they have a restaurant and a gift shop, and they've got all of the they've got canoe liveries that are involved in taking people who are staying at Echo Bluff to float on the current river. It is hard, quite honestly, to get a cabin anymore. You have to go a year or two out for many of those cabins at certain times of the year to even find an opening, because people love going there. And it's so fun now, Jason, to go down there, because many of the folks working in the restaurant, working at the gift shop, working at the park are locals. They love that park now. And it is, they know it's an asset to that area. So I think sometimes it's maybe the fear of the unknown and what may be, but for many of those counties, it really is an opportunity, I think, to increase economic activity. And it can be a great opportunity to have a great relationship with the state and the county.
Looking back at your tenure as the director of the Department of Conservation, what do you think your biggest challenge was over that time period?
The biggest challenge, I think the biggest challenge is always trying to prepare for the future. One of the things that happened during my tenure is my leadership team, we did a lot of discussions internally and with partners to talk about the future of forest, fish, and wildlife in Missouri, what skill sets would be needed, what are the challenges. We know we've got a lot of natural resource challenges like chronic wasting disease, like high path avian influenza. We've got, new diseases kind of coming on the landscape all the time. So that, we look at that. We look at the loss of habitat. and how do we ensure that when we are protecting land, it is priority land. We look at infrastructure. We've got a lot, you know, a million acres that we have responsibility for. There's a lot of infrastructure on that acreage. And so what is our plan to take care of that infrastructure? Are we staying connected with the citizenry in the way that we want to and making sure that they are aware of the opportunities that exist on conservation areas, just maintaining that public trust as well. There's always challenges abounding. And so we spend a lot of time saying, are we prepared for the future? And do we have the organizational structure that's prepared for the future? And we did go through a significant restructuring of the agency that added new capacity in key areas and eliminated some of the pieces of the old structure, really just to ensure that we were prepared for the challenges of the 21st century. Change of that nature is always difficult internally, for sure, and so just managing through change and add a pandemic on top of that, there's a lot of change afoot, and so really just, helping the team create a vision for the future, then implementing that change, and then really getting the team through that change was really a big challenge, but it was reflective of the natural resource challenges and just the challenges we saw too with ensuring that our mission is still relevant to the public we serve. Even though we saw this bump during the pandemic, we know that here in Missouri and even nationally, younger kids tend to be more on their gadgets than they do playing outdoors like we did back in my day. I'm sounding like an old fogey, but I guess I now qualify. And so just ensuring, especially the younger generation, understand the value of the outdoors. They see it as a fun place to go, that we continue to connect our public with the great outdoors. That was a key challenge as well. So we really have embraced those challenges and taken a moment to restructure the agency, but I really think we're in a better position today.
And what is it about the entirety of your career that you are most proud of? Like, what do you think is an accomplishment that you were able to steer through either in the Department of Natural Resources or the Department of Conservation that you could point to and say, I'm really glad I did that?
You know, I think that, I can give you some things that are near and dear to my heart. Boone County Nature School is an example in just outside of Columbia. I really think the first of its kind. There's other, nature schools in the country, but this is the first of its kind where Columbia Public Schools, in partnership with Missouri Department of Conservation, of course, many other partners involved, the county and city officials and others, but it is on conservation land, so it's on state, it's on one of our conservation areas, the long-term lease. The public school system owns the building itself. They'll have their faculty there. We'll have their teachers there. We'll have a member of the MDC team there. But every fifth grader in the entire county, not just in Columbia, but in the entire county, will have opportunity to spend time at the nature school, sitting on Three Creeks Conservation Area. Back to the issue of relevancy, ensuring that young people are connected to and given the opportunity to fall in love with the outdoors, just like I did when I was a kid. I'm very proud of the partnership that went into the development of the Nature School. The Johnny Morris Institute at the University of Missouri, very proud of that. And as we're looking at the future and making sure that we've got professionals who are trained in areas of aquatic health, of ensuring that our fish species, water quality, wetlands, that the aquatic systems and the aquatic species are stewarded into the future. We've spent a lot of time with partners with the University of Missouri, very grateful for key partners like Bass Pro Shops, Johnny Morris, who have ensured we now will have a nationally renowned institute that draws future professionals that have an interest in those areas. I could list a lot of other projects, but let me say at the end of my career, I think what has brought me the most joy is I think of the professionals at the Department of Natural Resources. I think of the professionals at the Department of Conservation. I have been so fortunate to be surrounded with these just amazing professionals who care a lot about ensuring that we have healthy habitats, including forests, that we have, you know, healthy wildlife species into the future. They're committed to it. Just amazing work ethic, like I've not seen really any other place, because they're so personally and professionally committed to both of those missions. And so when you're around people like that day in and day out, it almost doesn't feel like work. I mean, I'm finishing a pretty long career, but I gotta tell you, there were not too many days. There were some long days, but boy, the old saying, the years were short, and they were for me. It's gone by so quickly. But I think so much of that is because I'm just surrounded by people who are equally, if not more, passionate about these important missions of stewarding our natural resources.
Today's episode was produced and recorded by Jason Rosenbaum.
Edited by Maya Norfleet. Podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.